Your information's probably in our computer system. I would like to write it down just to make sure I have
sure.
it. Spell your full name. What's your date of birth?
Really?
Yeah. What's your, where are you living at?
Texas.
Your address.
I am scared of that. There's no, this is not going to go to anyone else, right?
What?
Okay. My address, is it okay if we keep it separate?
Yeah, you don't have to tell it to me right now, that's okay. What's your phone number that I can reach you at, though? And... you're here today to talk to us.
It's time that we can, that I can talk about Rosie. And I now feel like I can say something without her getting hurt.
I'll tell you where we're at with my investigation. I know that you've made a report with Sergeant Dove and that David Hamlin was arrested. And that you're here to disclose information about, is that correct? What is her full name?
Roselle, R-O-S-E-L-L-E, Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, Stevenson. I don't know if she got rid of Hamlin, but it's Stevenson, S-T-E-V.
Who I just talked to a little bit ago came forward.
Yeah.
When did she come forward?
Well, I actually was not a part of it, and that's all, basically, that I was a part of it to lunch, because I was saying, I'm scared to live at home, and she told her a lot of stuff. Yeah, and then saying, look, I know out now too, and she wants to leave home, so we should help her. So we wanted to help her get out, and we have already been planning with our attorney to come forward about Rosie, and so this was kind of miraculous that it happened in this time.
When did
yesterday? Wait, was it yes? Sorry. It's been kind of a blur at my house, and it's been stressful with school and work, so I'm trying to think. Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday.
Okay.
I think she had lunch with her on Wednesday or Thursday.
And did you meet all about this?
I mean, now, yeah, after, yes.
Where were you when you did that?
I picked her up from her house, home, and I took her, we went and got some dinner, and then we came, we called our attorney, and he talked to me, and then we her mother-in-law's home while she's here from California, and that's also addresses there. I don't want to expose, I don't want,
it's okay.
Yeah, so Amy and I, that was it, yeah.
And about any of this?
I all came forward talking with Dan Dove and our attorney. Mm-hmm. And so we the three of us were going to, you know, start the ball rolling on a report, and then just came forward like right before we were going to. So
okay. And all over the phone or other means of communication?
Yeah, on the phone.
Okay, talked to her on the phone.
Yeah, we Skyped. We Skyped as well once.
All right. So tell me, from beginning to end, chronological order if you can, what you want to disclose today.
Chronological order?
If not, if it's easier to go backwards, do the most recent. Whatever works for you.
Okay. Well, I actually wrote down like a few little times. I didn't put them chronologically, though.
Okay.
Let me
just go with what you have, and we might interject with a few questions, but we'll let you try to not interrupt you as you tell us.
Okay. I'll start with the youngest and go to oldest. There's a lot, though. So, I mean, is it?
We got plenty of time. So tell us everything.
Okay. This was kind of a daily occurrence, though. So everything is. It's like. I mean, that's a lot.
Okay.
But.
Tell us when it started. Tell us what happened.
Okay. Well, it started.
How frequent, and okay. We'll just go from there.
So as long as I can remember. At all, anything. I remember being abused by both sometimes separately. Would have us do things to each other to turn themselves on or something.
When you say each other, do you
orgy at home? And it was one experience was when I was like 5 years old. We were living in Provo at the time. I think it was 4 or 5. I was in kindergarten. But an example of when we had just gotten out of the bath and we were often bathed together. And we were in the Provo house, which is 2200 North, 280 East, I think. I can't quite remember. It's documented with all the other...
One by Centennial?
Yes,
or, okay.
Right by Centennial. And we were up in the upstairs, came out of that bathroom in the hallway that was not on the side of the house that had the kitchen and the family room and the TV room area. So we walked from there into this other room. Was guiding us, and she was just wearing a robe. That was it. And she came into the living room, and David was walking in, and he didn't have any pants on. He just had a shirt on. And Rosie closed all the blinds and the curtains in the room. And she's put a blanket on the ground, and they both sat down. He laid down on it, and she's like kind of like sat down and said, well, actually she had brushed her hair for a while. It was, I think the TV might have been on. I just, but we were naked because we had gotten out of the bath, so we weren't dressed. Anyway, then Rosie started this really gross game that we often did, which was used with different animals or different things, but she would say, okay, now let's be kittens. I want you to be little kitties. And she told us to start acting like cats, and they were both, David and she were both like, okay, can you lick like a kitty? Can you lick? And they said, lick each other. And so we're, of course, bothered by this and didn't like what they made us do to each other, but we licked like little things and jumped away, and like I was a jokester at home, and I would always like try to make people laugh, so I like would bounce back like a cat and screech like a cat, like meow, you know, like just try to get away, and after I would be licked or something to try to bring humor and maybe get out of the situation. But it doesn't work very well. And anyway, so they kept saying us, and they said, don't be bad kitties. You're not licking each other enough. And so we instead of just like a little lick on the arm, it was like on the back and the stomach and stuff like that. And then just like laughing and running away. And David and Rosie, David started masturbating and lying there as we were doing all this licking stuff, and Rosie laid down and her robe was kind of open, And David turned around and got on his all fours like he was a cat and said, "Okay, kitties, me." He's like, "Come with me this way." And he like walked over to one side of the room on all fours. And then, so we all started going, but then Rosie called, "Over here, be a good kitty." And I don't know what happened over there, but it was like, it was the same kind of thing. But David said, "Okay, lick my penis like a kitty." And I would lick him there, and it makes me want to throw up. And then he told me to suck on him, and he started putting his finger in his vagina and kind of like pushing her around, and then he started swearing and he's ejaculating, and I took my mouth off and he pushed my head back on, and he yelled out the F word as he was ejaculating. And then Rosie called us over in that moment, said, "Come over," told us to start sucking on her nipples, and so we started doing that. And then David did something. I just remember she was like, "Ah," and I just remember it was gross, because I heard her yell, and we weren't allowed to yell really when anything bad happened, because they didn't want neighbors to hear, they didn't want to have a bad sexual experience that they were going after, and I don't know why. Those are the reasons I'm guessing, but they would hit us if we did that, and so it was we kept quiet. Anyway, it's so gross to tell this stuff. Anyway, then Rosie started groaning a lot. She does this really deep, like, growl almost, and then, like, this, like, yelling out of, like, a lot of air, and it was just, like, the grossest sound, and I've heard it my whole life. And she started doing that again, and then David jumped over and put his penis in Rosie and finished her orgasm. And then they told us to get out of there and go to bed. They were often kind of mad after these weird things they would do, and sometimes we'd be hit or kicked, and they would tell us to leave. There's another one that's similar to that, that around the same time. That was like in the fall, I think, of when I was like in 4 or 5 years old. I just remember it was not winter, but when she was closing the blinds, it was like brown outside. Mm-hmm. And it was at nighttime. I don't know if I'm giving enough details to what you need.
No,
then, so there's another one that sticks out to me from that time period as well. And I was 4 or 5 as well. I think this was in the summer though, because I remember it. I remember that we had been playing outside and I was wearing shorts before I got in the tub. And so they did kind of the same kind of thing that they do, try to make it fun and stuff like that, but they did it with like babies this time. They told us to act like babies. And we had those bottles that, I don't know if you have seen these little baby bottles that like fill up with fake milk, and then you go like this and it like goes empty. So I got out of the bath, but we had those as some of our bath toys, and I had one of them. And Rosie said, "Oh, keep that and come in the bedroom." And she took us into the bedroom. We're jumping on the bed. this point, if I was like 4 or 5, she would have been like, somewhere. Anyway, so she was pretty old, but she didn't bathe with us, but she was sitting on the end of the bed, naked, right by the bathroom. And Rosie was naked as well. She was just wearing her robe again she was naked under her robe. And David was too. But I was jumping on the bed, and when David came in naked, I think he might have come in from their bedroom bathroom, which was just a little corner bathroom. But Rosie told us to come in and start acting like babies and say, "Are you being a good baby?" And she just kept saying all these things and about being a good baby and not fighting and not being mean, but listening and obeying. And so I started drinking out of the bottle, the fake bottle, and like trying to smile because, and I felt dread. I felt like this feeling of, again, you know, it's really painful, and especially at that age, and so there was a lot of fear with it. Anyway, she started talking about nursey, which is this thing that she would always say to us to try to get us to nurse. And she said, and David said, "Oh, I want to nurse." And he started sucking on Rosie, and she started laughing. And they had just laid down in the bed. We were all on the bed at this point. And then Rosie said to nurse Rachel, and it was really bothersome for them. They hated it when they would, and all of us hated that when they would tell us to do that to each other, because we didn't want to do it to them at all, but we were forced to. But it was just so much worse when they ruined our relationships and made us feel so gross. Rosie then said, "Bad baby," and she kicked her, and, like, fell off the bed. Anyway, Rosie called and me over to start nursing her after that, and told us to be good babies again. And David said, "I've got a big bottle of milk," and like grabbed the base of his penis and just went back and forth, like wagging it and Rosie was laughing hysterically. She thought it was so funny. And over there, and he told her to suck on it, and she did. And Rosie said it was cold, so she put the blankets over her, which went head. And then she to start licking her in her vagina, and she asked me to put my finger in her vagina and kind of like pull out and in a circle and move in a circle while licking. So we did, and then they were moaning, both of them, and grunting. And then I remember the blankets flew off because we started doing that stuff, and the blankets flew off, and David like had turned around and did what everybody always called the stink bug position. This is the position he would have us use if he was going to sodomize. Is that how you say it? I don't know. Like, if he was going to, I don't know if that's the right verb. I just don't know but where he would put his penis in our buttholes. And he went into the stink bug position and to lick him, and she licked him, and I think it was his anus. I mean, it was higher. And he was talking to her a lot, and he started swearing a lot. And he was touching himself while she was doing that. And then then Rosie started getting really, like, close to orgasming, and she kicked both of us off the bed. Then David, like, again went and put his penis in her, and they finished that way. And they told us to get out of there and go to bed again. Same thing. There's a lot to say. This would take forever, and I'm just really nervous about the time. Okay. Because I have a couple more, I think, that of other time periods that I think.
Tell me the most recent.
Well, there's a couple. There was one when the first. There were two that I thought about a lot that I thought about today that would be good to share, just telling, I think. And
then
there's two in the condo, in the Provo condo after the divorce with Rosie. And then there is this condo, which was next door in Provo, same place, that was at. During the separation and divorce, but we lived with them for, I think, about a year after the separation because we didn't have really a place to go. And then gave it to us, and we lived there.
Okay.
So the one in the was I had just started my period, and I had planned that whole week to go to Seven Peaks with my friends. I didn't know how to use a tampon, and I was scared to, but I wanted to go so badly because I had planned it, and it's like all these girlfriends, and I didn't have a really good group of friends because David and Rosie controlled who we would talk to, who we would spend time with. So it was like, I felt like it was like, this might be my chance. Roof, all this stuff. So I was really excited, wanted to just go. So I went, and but I read the directions on the tampon box, and I didn't get it. We didn't spend a lot of time in school growing up, but I didn't understand it. And I put in the tampon, but I left every part of it in. You probably don't know how the tampon works, but
how old were you when this happened?
I think I was 13. I was 13. It was right after the separation. It was the summer, so it was probably like only a few months I had been 13. And I think it's kind of interesting that my period started right after David was taken away from us. It was kind of late. All my friends started when they were like 11. Anyway, I don't know, but my I was looking at this box, and I put in the whole applicator and everything, and I couldn't walk, like, because it's cardboard and doesn't bend. And but my friends were honking outside, and so I just like waddled down the stairs, and I could feel it falling out. And I was like, well, I think I put it in right. I'm just gonna go. And I went out to the car, and I was getting into the car, and my friends were like, hurry, hurry. And I dropped my bag of stuff, and my sunblock fell out. So I picked up my bag, and it fell in the gutter. So I picked up my bag, and I tried to bend over it, and it was like, ow, it really hurt. So I couldn't really bend over, so I just, like, squatted on the ground and picked up the sunblock and got in the car. But as soon as I sat down, I didn't have a problem. So I thought, oh, okay, maybe that's all it was. Like, you just have to get used to it for a minute. But apparently it must have fallen out or something. And it did, because of I found it later. But this is the preface to why that matters, is because when I came home later that day, I noticed that as I got out of the car that I was bleeding. I didn't have a heavy period really at that time. I was a little girl still. So I didn't, and sorry, that's so gross. People probably do that at 7 Peaks all the time, but I, you know, I'd been watered all day, so I didn't even notice it. But in the water all day, so I didn't notice I had been bleeding. So anyway, I got home and Rosie, I went to go to the bathroom, and everyone was downstairs, but my room was upstairs, and I went to go to the bathroom, and there was no tampon or string or anything, and I started freaking out. I was like, where is it? Is it inside me? Is it, like, up inside of me? And so I went downstairs, and I talked to them, and they were like, no, it can't go that far, like, don't worry about it. It probably just fell out. And, but Rosie came into the room when I was talking to them and demanded to know what was happening. And so I told her, and she said, oh, it's probably stuck up there. And I said, no, it's not. It's fine. And she said, oh, yeah, and you can get so sick. You've got to find a way to get it out. She said, fine, I'll do it. Like, I will see if I can find it. And so I was like, no, that's okay. And she said, yes, go shower right now and come back downstairs. And don't change into clothes, just wear your towel downstairs. Parents, like, it's really weird in front of anyone. Anyway, so I went upstairs and I showered, and I really didn't think it was in there. I put my finger a little bit up to see if I could find anything, and I just didn't think it was there. So I went downstairs and I said, it's not there, it's gone. I checked. Even though I didn't really, like, I was scared to even touch. I never even looked at myself down there, really, most of my life. Not that it's very, anyway. This is such disgusting stuff. I'm so sorry. Anyway, so then I went downstairs, and Rosie told me I told her that I found, that I didn't find it, but that it, you know, it was, I was fine, and I was going back upstairs, and I tried to go upstairs, and she grabbed my arm, and she said, you're coming in, I don't want you to get sick. I will not have another sick girl. And she had me on the bed, she put me on the edge of the bed and told me to put my bum, like, right on the edge and spread my legs. And when I had originally talked to her, she was in, like, a nightgown. Like a muumuu kind of thing. If she wore clothes, it was like a robe or a nightgown, because she never really left home. And she did a lot of weird stuff at home. So, anyway, she was wearing that. But when I came back down, she was just in a robe with nothing underneath. And that was part of my fear of going back down. So I lay on the bed, and she ran out of the room, really bothered. And we had done that so many times. Sometimes we would stick up for each other and, like, stand for someone, like, be abused for someone else, and, like, try to push the other person out of the room. Or, like, and act, like, sexy to try to get them to want to abuse us instead of them, because we were best friends, and we spent all day together and knew what each other were going through, and so there were a lot of times like that. But there were also times where we all wanted to avoid it. It was so painful. So she ran out of the room, started crying, and Rosie went on her knees and started putting her finger in my vagina, and she, her nails were, like, scraping it, and it really hurt, and she just went in, like, circles, and she wasn't looking for a tampon, of course, and then she started sucking on me, and I was so grossed out, and I kept trying to close my legs, and she kept hitting me, and she told me to do it to her, and she took off her robe and sat on the bed and told me to kneel on the ground. And she kept pushing my head into her vagina and telling me to lick harder and lick harder. And so I did until she did the gross moaning and groaning again. And it was so disgusting. And there was a lot of discharge coming out of her. And she told me to keep licking and licking and... And as usual, she kicked my head away from her and told me to go upstairs.
You say she was sucking on you?
Yep.
She was sucking your vagina?
Yep. And she put her tongue in me.
Also inside your vagina?
Yes, and yes. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I just want to clarify.
Gross to say it.
When she pushed your head towards her vagina and told you to lick, you were licking her vagina?
Yes. And the way Rosie does abuse is, like, she's your teacher, and she tells you what to do, and, like, describes exactly what to do, and has you, like, stroke her legs, and, like, do all this... stuff. There's no talking really, but it's just her instruction. So she told me to put my tongue in her vagina, and she would say, put it in, you know, like that. But I knew because I was already licking her, and then she would tell me to like move it in and out, and how fast, and how faster, and circles, things like that. She would tell me to moan sometimes too, like while I was doing that.
13.
Yeah, this is the basement. It's a sewing room, but it had a full-sized, or queen, I think it was a full-size bed in there for a time. For a while. There weren't many bedrooms in that condo, so it was kind of like you kind of had to share, but Rosie had ulterior motives, so that was right before we moved to, or that was not right before, but we moved, I think it was either winter, or it was in the winter time of that same year, or the next year we moved to the new condo.
You said there were two incidents that you wanted to talk about at that condo?
The other two were, yeah, it's kind of, it's, I mean, how many things can you do with sex? I don't know. It's it's so gross. Okay, well, one was that I walked in, so,
I
Rosie. This is when we first moved over there, so it had been almost a year, I think. I don't know, 2001 or so. So I middle of the day, came home from school, and I walked into the house, and I called, and I heard noises, like, moaning, and I was like, and I started, like, yelling, I'm like, because I knew home at that point, It wasn't, I don't know if this was when she was living there, actually, but, stay away from home as long as she could, especially when she was older and she could get out and have her friends pick her up or go drive somewhere, you know, she was like, we would try to be AWOL as much as possible. But I started yelling and I ran down the hallway to, in my room, we had bunk beds in there for a while, and I went in there and Rosie was giving oral sex when she was, and she yelled at me, she called me the B word and told me to get out. I didn't get out. I walked over to the bed and I out from under her, and Rosie was enraged and started beating me. She loved to pick stuff up and throw it at people, and she started like going really kind of like angry, crazy. She would just, that moan thing that she did, she would do it when she would be crying or when she would have sex. It was like this like scary sound. And so she was doing it and she was like crying. She was like, get out of here. Don't touch me. You'll hurt her. You'll hurt her more and more. And she said, you're just like David. You're just like David. And, she picked up, I think it was a snow globe on our vanity, but it was like a round object that was hard, because I don't remember what happened after that, but she threw it at my head and it hit me. And that's all I remember.
That was the Provo condo, right?
Yeah. I remember later that night, like, having a goose egg and just, and being up and having dinner with my sisters and my mom like nothing happened.
Tell me about the second incident at the Provo condo.
Oh, so this one was in Rosie's room, and we had just taken a bath in her huge jacuzzi bath. She always had us go in there and take a bath with her. And this was my freshman year. So I think it was in the fall. I think it was in the fall, it was the evening. So this other one was when we first moved in. I can't remember exactly when it was that we first moved into the condo, but this was not long after the first one that I remember here, but in that year. But anyway, so Rosie had us go take a bath, and she kept rubbing us in the water, and she was like getting giddy and like laughing a lot. And then she got out of the bath and watch a movie, and we tried to get up and go, and she said, no, wait a minute. She said, I have a plan. And she had us stay in the bedroom. She gave us towels to dry off, and she climbed into her bed and told me and I to start sucking on her breasts. And she did, and then I did. And we were both kind of whimpering and crying, and then she was getting excited, and she pushed my head from her chest down to her vagina area and told me to start licking her vagina, and so I did. And she gave me directions to rub her thighs and lick her thighs. And then, started crying more and more, and she told her to shut up, and I knew it was gonna be okay, and Rosie told me to shut up. This was the time when I started fighting back, was that age. I mean, I always fought back, but it was like, it was just more and more. But I kept doing that, and it, she do something to her breasts. I didn't know what it was, but it was like touching them, squeezing them, and then she got closer and closer and orgasmed and told us to leave and turn off the lights on our way out. And so we did. And we went and showered again. And Rosie would use threats a lot, but they weren't always during the abuse. She would not be abusive during abuse normally until maybe, well, not normally, but there were kind of phases in her, of her interests, I guess. But there was a time period where she didn't want anything unhappy, and we couldn't cry, we couldn't be sad during abuse. And then there were times when she didn't care, she just did whatever she wanted. But she would threaten that she would kill herself a lot. She said that she would commit suicide if I ever told anyone what was happening. But when I got to high school age, I told her, prove it. And that, you know, that she could, that she would never kill herself because she had used that threat forever. And I would outright tell her that she was abusing me. And she would do one of two things. One was either, oh, how could you ever say that? And then the other thing was that she would fight and yell and, like, just get more angry. Anyway, a lot of these times as well, there was drugs involved. Like, for example, the time in the bathtub, I remember being drowsy. But I don't really remember her giving me the medicine, but it was like that loopy feeling that you feel when you're on some drug. Everyone's felt that, right? Just kidding. No, that's weird. It's really weird. I sometimes forget that this is a very unique experience, so I hope it is at least. There's a lot of catnaps she would take. I can go on if you want me to. Mm-hmm. I'm just mostly worried about the time right now.
I understand the time issue. At the same time, if there's incidents that have happened that you want to disclose, we want to hear about those. So if there's things that stick out, like the ones that you just told, her forcing or performing oral sex on you or others, we want to hear those.
There was this catnap in the Spring City house, and she called them catnaps. It was during the middle of the day. She would take one of us, sometimes more of us, to sleep with her, is what she would say, but it was like pleasure her, and then she would sleep, and then we could get away. She always told me that I was her favorite, and she, from what it sounds like, I'm not the only one that too, but she would tell me that my little body fit perfectly in this part of her body, this from her neck to her thighs, like when she would spoon me in bed. And she would always say that. And she would always talk about my butt, and how perfectly shaped it was, and that I was flat, but it was okay that I would not always be flat. But I was only, in this experience, I was only... So it's not like... She's really gross. So... She told me to go take a nap with her, and I was playing in my bedroom, and I didn't want to go, and so I told her no, and she said, "You won't. I'll if you don't come." And so I said, "Okay," because what that meant was that he would violently abuse you, and often it was sodomy, and there was never any lubricant with that when you were punished. There was lubricant at other times. There was Vaseline things by every bedside table. Anyway, meant for that, and he used that. Anyway, Rosie asked me to go to her bedroom, so I went, and she just said, "We're just gonna take a nap." So she had me in her bedroom on the right side of the bed. She climbed onto that side of the bed and opened up the blankets and, like, motioned for me to climb in. So I did, and my back was towards her, and she started humping me and, like, rubbing... Like, she put her leg over me and started rubbing her private parts on my backside. And then she pushed me down from my shoulders and... put my waist in between her legs and did the same thing, just kept pushing me against her, rubbing her private parts. Then she told me to take off my clothes. And I did. And then she started touching me. And she, like, caressed my butt, like, just kept stroking it. And then she put her finger in my vagina. And then she told me to take off her garments. That's all she was wearing. And I pulled... off her garments, and as soon as I pulled off her bottom garments, because she was on her back at this point, she grabbed my head and put it on her vagina, my face into her vagina, and told me to lick, and then I started pushing away because it was gross, and she just kept forcing my head back and moaning, and she was kind of on her heels at this point, off the bed a little bit, just so her shoulders and her feet were on the ground with her knees bent, or on the ground of the on the mattress, you know, on the bed. And kept moving up and down and hitting my face while she went up and pushing my head while I went down, while she went down, and then she was moaning a lot, and I heard her, like, yell out, like, a loud yell, and she was done, and she told me to crawl back where I was when we first started, so she could spoon me, and she started crying, and had the grossest taste in my mouth, and I just wanted to get up and leave, but she didn't stop crying for like half an hour at least, and then she fell asleep, and I snuck out.
Can you tell me the last incident that you recall in Provo with Rosie?
I moved out of the house and I thought my relationship with Rosie had really been worsened. Not that it was ever good, ever. But there was much more violence, much more yelling than there had been because I think I was the only one at home. I was in opposition to what she was doing, all sorts of things. Besides, I mean, I was the only older at home there, but I was a little girl still. Years younger than me, so. So she kind of, like, it was less and less of the abuse as my high school years went on. Because I would fight her so much and things like that. However, there was a lot of drugs. She would force, give me drugs all the time. She would put it in my food. I could taste it sometimes, this bitterness, and see white, like, specks in my food. And so I would not eat if I could find it, you know. But she'd find ways to do that. And so I think that there are times that I don't remember because of that. I remember being knocked out for hours, sleeping for days, like not being awake. So it's hard to say that she really kind of slowed down, but at least consciously it was. So the last time that I remember, I had broken my back in a sledding accident and had just gotten back from work. The sledding accident was in Utah and I needed to be at home. I didn't have anywhere else to go. So I was at home and
Provo condo?
Yeah, same place.
How old were you?
I was just about April. This would have been January. Yes. So I broke my back and I wasn't supposed to be moving at all. And I was on a lot of pain meds, which made me loopy. Mm-hmm. And she came in one afternoon and I was like out of it, and she put like some food by my bed and told me that I could eat that. And then I remember falling asleep and I woke up to her private parts on my head. She was sitting on my face and rubbing her vagina against my face, and I yelled. And she hit my head, and as she was getting off, she with like her foot or her knee, I just remember it was hard. And it wasn't a full on like some of the other sexual experiences, but that's the last time I remember.
When she was rubbing her vagina on your face, she had clothing on or no clothing?
No clothing. No, she didn't even have anything on her top. She was naked. She walks around the house naked all the time. Like, either that, a robe. It's like...
Okay. And you were... This was January. You disclosed some of these... Was any of that disclosed in your previous interview with Sergeant Dove?
No, because Rosie was there, and Rosie was still out.
She was in the interview?
Oh, sometimes she was, yes. Okay. But I didn't say anything about Rosie because was still at home. And I also knew that Rosie would have gotten in contact with David if she found out that she was going to be put on trial. Mm-hmm. And she would tip him off so that she would have someone to back her up and they could make a plan. Like, I mean, they did this my whole life. So easy for her to just contact him and say, hey, look, I got your back if you've got mine, or whatever. In fact, when I talked to David on the phone with that phone call, the pretext phone call, he told me that they'd been in contact a couple times. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was more. Rosie told me that she would receive love letters from David during the divorce. And there were times at home where we had to physically hold her back from leaving the house to go see David and go back to David. There's no, like, kind of feeling there. It's just, like, it's very selfish.
So you've given a few disclosures on incidents with Rosie, and then you've also given a few where David was involved. Have you disclosed oral sex, and then you've said there was sodomizing. You've disclosed with Sergeant Dove.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to ask you, because you said there's a long history of this. You guys had this through your growing up. And a lot of this we cover, so I'm just going to make sure we go over everything.
Sure.
So Rosie has performed oral sex on you.
Yes.
And penetrated your vagina with her fingers.
Yes.
You've performed oral sex on her.
Yes.
And you've also, have you put your fingers in her vagina?
Yes.
Who, you've named a few people that you've seen her perform oral sex on. Has she performed oral sex on all of the kids?
Yes, for sure.
And you've seen that?
Yes.
Have you seen all of the kids perform oral sex on both her and then...
And David, yep.
Has it happened enough that they were all present when...
Like when she, that all happened? Yeah. Yes. Yes. For
so
sure.
So she knew that they were having... The kids were performing oral sex on him and he knew...
Yes. And it was part of their plan. It's like, tonight... horses. And so you all act like horses and you do stuff like horses do.
So it's probably hard to put a number on how many times this has happened.
Nearly daily. Okay. For almost 13 years.
Starting when to when?
Well, the first reported incident that I gave Dan Dove was when I was an infant.
And then you said it started to decrease and kind of slow down as you got into your high school. Or
well, that's what
years.
I thought. But I think I was hoping for that. I don't know.
You said you were kind of loopy and there might be...
Well, yeah, like during high school. Yeah. But the fact that she did that when I was and I had lived... And she had over and over, she's a fabulous manipulator, and over she had even like knelt and begged for my forgiveness for things, and you know, said that it was just what like David did this to her, and that she was possessed with a devil when she would do those things, and she gave me all sorts of reasons for why that would happen, and I was messed up from all of that. You know, in a way, just, I wanted to get away from it, but I believed her when she told me that she wouldn't do that, and that she was, you know, getting married to a new guy, and that things would be different, and I didn't know if it was going to be continued, but that was probably very blind. But now that she came forward and said that she's afraid to be there, I know that she hasn't stopped.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about today?
Just my huge concern and tipping off Rosie. I'm really afraid that she's already figured it out.
Okay. Do you have any follow-up questions? What we'll do is we'll take a break again for a few minutes, and then we'll interview.
Thank you. Sorry.